Ayurveda really does every attempt at every opportunity to align with nature. So when the sun is high, they align. They look and say, oh, well, our digestive fire would be the strongest at that time. Or that's when we should be working, when the sun is at its highest, because that's when we're going to have the greatest motivation or the strongest metabolism. So there's always that notion that what's going on around us is the same thing that's going on inside of us. So during the time periods where the sun's really high, we would look towards eating. And during the times when the sun is not around, when the moon is out, that's when we'd look towards going inward, sleeping, resting, and we could call it fasting, but it's really just not eating.
Welcome back to Eating with the Sun and Fasting with the Moon. You were just listening to Mary Thompson, one of my favorite teachers of Ayurveda, who taught me at the California College of Ayurveda over 20 years ago. Mary has been acknowledged for her ability to express complex and often esoteric principles in a way that makes them easy to understand. Mary has served as an officer on the founding board of the California Association of Ayurvedic Medicine and is a practitioner member of the National Ayurvedic Medical Association. She has presented at numerous national and international conferences and summits on Ayurveda, as well as published articles in Ayurvedic periodicals. Mary describes herself as a perpetual student of Ayurveda. And through her new website, Mary Thompson Ayurveda, she continues to spread the wisdom of this ancient science by supporting Ayurvedic practitioners and students. Now back to Mary, and she's going to tell us a little bit about the Ayurvedic understanding of eating with the sun and fasting with the moon, especially around how the circadian rhythms impact our ability to eat at different times of the day.
We look at it as when the sun rises, we don't have a really strong, most people, some people have a really strong appetite in the morning, but most people don't because they don't have that internal fire that's really strong at that point. They need to stoke that internal fire. So I'm sure you've heard people say before that breakfast is the most important meal of the day, and Ayurveda would agree with that to an extent, but they wouldn't say it should be the largest meal of the day. It's like you're building a fire. If you were, I know you just came back from camping, right? And right. So it's like if you're going to build a fire when you're camping, you don't put the big log on first. You put the little tiny pieces and you put a lot of kindling and flame and you blow it and you try and get everything you can to get it to be ready for that larger meal.
Right.
So we put that small meal in the morning. Mm-hmm. And then in the middle of the day when we need the energy for our work is when we take in a larger meal. I often think of it, you know, certainly aligned with the sun, but I often liken our digestion to taking a trip in your car. That you get in your car and you're going to go on a road trip, you check and you see, you know, how's the fuel? How's the gas? And you say, oh, I want to make sure I have enough gas to get to where I want to go, to where I'm really going to get involved in the trip. And then maybe you come up some point in time and you think, wow, it's really going to be, I've got this mountain. Maybe I don't know where the next gas station is, or there's a long stretch that I'm going to go on. Now I'm going to fill the tank. And that's like going to be my big meal of the day, getting ready for that rest of the work of the day. And then in the evening when I get back home, I decide, huh, do I want to top it off? Do I want to make sure I have enough in the tank for the next morning so that I'm not going to come back empty? Mm-hmm. So Ayurveda kind of looks at our meals like that as well. Like in the morning, what do I need to get me through to that lunchtime? What am I going to need to sustain me until then? And then the big meal, we look at the midday meal being the largest one. You know, what do I need to sustain me through all this work that I've set myself up for today? Mm-hmm. And then at the end of the day, I consider, do I need to replenish myself in some way because I spent too much of my energy so that I don't feel empty in the morning or that I can go to bed without pain? But then we tend to keep those meal times during the daytime. So sometime while the sun was up, not carrying it over into late night dining.
You mentioned just now that there are some people who do have sort of a voracious appetite in the morning and others don't. Can you speak to a little bit about who these people classify as, you know, in the Ayurvedic terminology, and how do you distinguish what food they might need during the course of their day?
Okay, so really briefly, Ayurveda looks, there's kind of three primary body types. One of them is called Vata, and it's very variable. It's like the epitome of variability. So these are the people, if you ever say to people, oh my gosh, I can't believe I forgot to eat, then you are probably vata dosha, because vata gets distracted and they may forget about their meals and they don't recognize those hunger signs. So this person really needs their food to be nutritious, because you know what happens when we forget to eat? We get ravenously hungry and we grab something that's right available that probably isn't really nutritious, but it's going to taste good and it's going to satisfy that hunger, but it's not going to nourish me on a deep level. So these people, the people that forget to eat, they kind of have to make sure that anything they're eating is moist and dense and nutritious, like root vegetables and whole grains and sweet fruits, those kinds of things.
So if you've just realized that you happen to have the Vata type of digestion, which is exemplified by a variable diet pattern, and you might also be prone to loss of appetite or irregular bowel movements, so what you might want to do is to really make use of this current season of fall, because you can be easily provoked right now with the cold, dry, windy weather. Antidote with some foods like root vegetables, winter squashes, carrots, beets, sweet potatoes, pumpkin, squashes. These foods, they are more dense and moist, so they tend to balance your type of digestion. And you can also favor tastes like the sweet, sour, salty tastes, which happen to be the taste that this season will naturally provide for, while you can try to limit bitter and astringent tastes because those can aggravate your particular type of digestion. You might even consider having the sweet grains that Mary was referring to, the whole grains such as wheat berries or brown rice, whole wheat pasta, buckwheat for instance, and don't forget to include ghee and other healthful oils such as almond or sesame, sunflower, because these will help you oleate internally and that'll help kindle your digestive fire and help increase absorption. You could use warming spices like black pepper, dry ginger, cinnamon, asafoetida. These will all help stoke the digestive fire. Finally, casseroles, soups, stews, these are also easily digested and they can be very nourishing for you, warming your body from the inside out.
So the second type we call pitta, which is the fiery type. This is the person who gets things done. They will never forget to eat, but they may choose not to if they're working on something. So if they're in the midst of a project and they have a deadline, they might growl and snarl, but they might not eat until they can pay attention to it. Mm-hmm. So those are the people, I find with these people, as soon as they say they're hungry, everybody around them starts looking for food, you know, to make sure that they don't reach that hangry state. And this person is the one who's going to wake up hungry. They're going to have a sharp appetite in the midday, and they're going to be hungry again in the evening. The reason is their metabolism is so high. They need lots of fuel. So if I go back to my road trip idea, the person of Vata nature, they don't know when they leave home what kind of road trip they're going to go on. Are they going to go 100 miles? Are they going to go 10 miles? So they never really know how much fuel they need. This type, the Pitta type, is like they're an Indy 500 race car. They're always going to go as fast, as far as they possibly can and win the race. So we have to make sure they have plenty of fuel and really high quality fuel, right? Mm-hmm. So they're going to eat pretty much the same things the Vata dosha was eating. Dosha just is the term they use for the types.
Right.
So the Pitta is going to look for that nutritious food, the root vegetables, the whole grains, but they also have to make sure they don't overheat. So they're going to have lots of greens in their diet and lots of water to make sure that they stay hydrated and really can sustain what they're doing.
And if you just figured out that you happen to have the Pitta type of digestion, then you can safely say that you want to favor cool over warm or hot foods. And by this, I do not mean like a cool temperature, but cooling energetic. Things like raw foods tend to be naturally cooling, so you could mix in an assortment of raw fruits and vegetables. You could also minimize your exposure to fiery hot dishes. Foods with a sharply warming energetic like alcohol and caffeine, because these influences will naturally increase internal heat in you. Then you might also want to favor dense, grounding, nourishing foods such as grains, milk, root vegetables, seeds, cooling oils. Your excess pitta can cause a sharp and sometimes insatiable appetite. So it's equally important not to overeat. You might also want to favor the drying or the astringent foods like beans, potatoes, oats, popcorn, most vegetables. These could be good for you. And when cooking, you want to use a moderate amount of high quality oil or ghee. Finally, you want to favor mild over sharp, which means avoid flavors like pineapple, pickles, vinegar, sharp aged cheeses. These are better replaced with milder, gentler tastes like in apples, cucumbers, lime juice, soft cheeses. Overall, what you're doing is eating sweet, bitter, astringent tastes and avoiding the pungent, sour and salty tastes.
And the third type is called kapha, and kapha types are, they're kind of those more slow, methodical, deep thinkers. They don't have a really strong appetite. I met a kapha dosha woman one time that said she'd be happy if she just had one meal a day, as long as it was brunch. Sometime between 10 o'clock and 1 o'clock, she wanted a nourishing meal, but she said they'll all spend all day digesting that. So their metabolism is really slow. They're not going to burn that energy off really quickly, and they're just not going to have much of an appetite. So they're not going to tend to wake up hungry, and they'll be okay maybe just with a cup of ginger tea or something in the morning, because that's going to start the fire. And then by the time lunchtime comes around, now they'll have some appetite for their meal, but that's going to, again, suppress the appetite, so they're not going to feel hungry again during the day.
Now, if you're just determining that you have the kapha type of digestion, then balance your diet with freshly cooked whole foods that are light, dry, warming, well-spiced. Kapha thrives on a fairly minimalistic diet with small meals, little to no snacking, few sweets. You could have an abundance of fresh fruits and vegetables, a variety of legumes, minimal alcohol, and lighter fare all around. You also want to favor warm over cool or cold. And again, talking of energetics here, so cooked foods tend to offer a warmer energetic and they are typically easier to digest. Best to drink room temperature warm beverages. You also want to favor dry over moist or oily. Try foods like beans, white potatoes, dried fruits, rice cakes, popcorn. When cooking, it is important to use as little oil as possible. You can also minimize oily foods like avocado, coconut, olives, buttermilk, cheese, cow's milk, wheat, nuts, seeds. You can reduce your consumption of moist foods like melons, summer squashes, zucchinis, and yogurts. Finally, you want to favor rough over smooth. You respond well to eating large quantities of fresh fruits and vegetables. Foods like broccoli, cabbage, cauliflower, dark leafy greens, many beans are exceptionally rough and are wonderful for countering your smooth, oily nature. So overall, what you're looking to do is to favor tastes that are pungent, bitter, astringent, to avoid the sweet, sour, and salty tastes.
Of the three types, like the vata was the variable one, they need to make sure that they're taking small breaks and eating a little bit, little bit, little bit, little bit. But pitta dosha is the one who's got that really high metabolism. They want to make sure they fuel up before their work, they fuel up in the middle of the day, and they fuel up again at night. So they're always having kind of a meal. They're going to have a larger meal to sustain them. And the kapha dosha is the one who just may take something heating in the morning to bring their digestion up and then have a good nourishing meal. The challenge the kapha dosha has, though, is watching out for things being too heavy. They're going to love those familiar foods, the comfort foods, but those can actually take so long to digest that they may struggle, even be hungry again the next morning. One thing I think about, if we only ate when we felt hungry, we may not eat nearly as often as we do. Am I hungry? Why am I eating? Then we have to come face to face with, what am I hungry for?
And that is the question that we will pose next when we discuss how we can eat mindfully as we eat with the sun and fast with the moon.